Dwight, thank you, and thank all of you for blending your voices together this morning in these great songs of encouragement and exhortation. It's good to be back among the living. I had the upper respiratory problem earlier in the week, missed the Christmas party. I heard it was great, and we appreciate Ben stepping in at such a late day. But anyway, I heard everything went great. The young people did a wonderful job, and for that we're thankful. And we're thankful also to Lisa and her crew for the beautiful decorations out there in the activity building. They were beautiful, and the food was wonderful as well. And it's just a great time, a great spirit that prevails among us. And as we said, if you're visiting with us today, we truly thank you all for coming. It's good to have Dr. Kent over here and his sweet wife, Geneva, and been friends of ours for a long, long time. He is a physician in Tyler, Texas. I've known Geneva for a long time out in Throckmorton. I used to go out there and hold a little gospel meeting out there for probably 25 years, every year in a row, and it's been a long time. But anyway, it's great to have them with us today and their young son. We hope you'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about attitude determines altitude. And I hope that all of you will make that special effort to be here tonight. You know, you and I live in an artificial world. Have you ever thought or pondered all the things in life that are artificial? You may have an artificial tree in your den or in your living room or wherever you put your Christmas tree. We hear a lot about artificial turf out on the football field locally here. We hear about Equal, Sweet and Low, Stevia, Truvia. All of those are artificial sweeteners. Think about it. We even have what we call artificial tears that people moisten their eyes with when they are dry. What about artificial flowers? And aren't these beautiful poinsettias up here, but they're not real? They are artificial, but we always like to decorate the building every year. We have what we call the artificial organs market. People have an artificial heart. Remember that several years ago when they designed that? And, you know, all kinds of things. How many of you have false teeth? I didn't think I'd get a big show of hands on that one, but anyway, a lot of people do. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, there are types of seasoning that people have that create maybe that sensation or that feeling or that taste as if it were the real thing. We have artificial vanilla flavoring. We are living in an artificial world today where lemonade, and get this one, lemonade is made from artificial flavoring, and furniture polish is made from the real lemon. Can you understand that? That's almost beyond me. But then we have what we call artificial intelligence, or AI. And we hear more about it today in our world that we live in, and people ask the question, what in the world is AI, and what are they talking about? Artificial intelligence. Are they talking about something that we're not really aware of, or is it possible for us to understand it? Well, you know, and I guess maybe artificial intelligence is flawed. Someone said we need to start dealing with real stupidity instead of artificial intelligence, and maybe so. The word artificial actually is an adjective, and it actually means imitation. It's an imitation of the real thing. It resembles it really, really close. But there is a vast difference between that which is real and that which is imitation. It is made, it is produced, or done by human beings, especially to seem like something original. But it, in reality, is man-made. You know, I suppose some things that are artificially created are okay, but something that really, really bothers me is spiritual artificial intelligence. And we got a lot of people today that think they're more intelligent than God in heaven, and that their intelligentsia makes them something that they are not. But we have a lot of people today that read the Bible, and instead of accepting the real thing or the Word of God, we start trying to build some kind of scenario that is artificially made, and people determine they're going to live by it. I want to talk to you about some things that really concern me concerning, actually, artificial intelligence. Because with artificial intelligence often comes artificial preachers. And what I mean by that is they are not preaching the truth, the whole truth, so help them God. Sometimes I wonder about the message that they preach. Is it artificial intelligence, or is it an infringement upon the truth of Almighty God? Are we preaching the Bible anymore? It's hard to go to church anymore and hear the Word of God taught. People are teaching everything in the world except the Bible. People are teaching that we need to be more concerned about entertaining everybody and keeping them happy. It's all about that, and the church is reduced to nothing more than a civic organization instead of really being the Bible church that God intended for it to be. Artificial preachers would have great difficulty understanding and preaching exactly what Paul wrote here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 and 3. So he gave this admonition to this young preacher named Timothy. And he said to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, to convince, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come, and it has come, folks, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, their own artificial intelligence, they have itching ears, and they will turn their ears away from the heralding of the truth of God unto fables. Isn't it amazing where we are in today's world when we talk about spirituality? Sometimes people think spirituality is just attending all the church functions. But spirituality is much, much deeper than that. It is based on a relationship that you have with our God who is in heaven. You know, AI is hacking spirituality. It really is. It's amazing how it happens. Do you know the church's greatest mistakes occur when people of God honor what a particular leader has to say instead of examining the Holy Scriptures for what they are? I have challenged you many times in some 53 years. Don't just take my word. You read the Bible. You confirm that what I am telling you is true, and if it is not true, listen, I will stand corrected. I will. You know, the Bible says of the Bereans that they were more noble than they of Thessalonica, inasmuch as they searched the Word of God to see if the things that were taught were so. And that's what we ought to do. You know, a lot of people hear certain preachers and they say, well, it must be true, or he wouldn't be up there preaching. And I'm telling you, there are people who are preaching artificial intelligence when it comes to spiritual matters. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no greater authority on spiritual matters than God who is in heaven. And God is the one who gave it. He gave the blueprint. He designed it. And he has built his kingdom the way he wanted it. But we have a lot of people today that compromise the truth. They do. And they're nothing more than lies that are disguised as truth. Did you know the Bible has a lot to say about false prophets? And the word prophet being preacher, that's really what they were. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. He says, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And you will know them by their fruits, by the way that they live their lives, by what they do. Not so much by what they herald in a pulpit or on a television screen somewhere. I would warn you this morning that the true gospel is offensive. and I don't compromise. I will tell you the truth, the whole truth. You won't walk out of this building saying, hey, he preached something was not true today. I'm telling you, you either misheard or you wanted to create a scenario that says I made a mistake in terms of preaching the truth. I will preach the truth. I will tell it like it really is. And John wrote in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now, the reason I've put such a big premium on the truth is the fact that God did. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8 and verse 32. It's a wonderful thing to know the truth. And someday you're going to stand before God and answer for what the truth is. You see, Jesus taught in the book of John 12 and 48 that we're going to be judged by our words. For every idle word that man shall speak, you shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You and I will be judged by the truth, not by artificial intelligence, not by what someone is saying. But why do people reject the gospel? Do you know that most people judge a book by its cover? It is a proven fact. If you're in a bookstore somewhere, you begin to look through books, peruse through them, and you will end up buying a book because of its cover. And we are the cover of Christianity to some folk. They reject Christianity because they reject us. They know that we are deceived. They say that in their mind. They know that we're just like them in some ways. And they know, when they really think about it, that we're worse than they are. But are we? And that we're full of empty words. And that we want to be warmed and filled doesn't cut it. Why wouldn't we demonstrate the love of Christ? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we tell the truth? You know, it's kind of like Hollywood when they began to design and create and produce all of these religious movies out in Hollywood. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but many of those movies that are produced in Hollywood are not true to form. They're not true to the Word of God. There are discrepancies within what they teach and what they say, but people get up and walk out. I was in a gospel meeting one time, and I was in a Bible class, and I mentioned something about the fact that, no one knows what Moses looked like. And one lady raised her hand and said, I do. I saw the Ten Commandments. Well, I'm telling you, that's not the answer that you should be looking for. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now consider that. Why would God be warning us about all the false prophets if there were none? Or if everybody that carried a Bible or climbed into a pulpit behind, maybe on a stage somewhere, if everybody is right, where are the false prophets? Where are the ones that are being spoken about by our Lord Jesus Christ when he said they will go into the world? And I can tell you, anyone that is not teaching the Word of God implicitly and specifically and according to what the Word says, I can tell you, is a false prophet. And they tell lies. You may not be able to tell it by their nose, but you can tell it by their actions, that they are artificial. They are. But then there are artificial churches. And let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't make any difference what you believe, and we're all trying to go to the same place. All of that sounds so good on the surface, doesn't it? It sounds so good when everybody says, it doesn't make any difference what you believe, everybody is right, We're all going to the same place, and God is love and merciful, and He forgives sins. But is there a real difference, defining difference, between the Church of the Living God and many religious institutions? I think there is a defining difference. Matter of fact, King Solomon in the book of Proverbs 14:12 said that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. We got a lot of people today that teach in some of these man-made churches that are using man-made doctrines that a person doesn't even have to accept Christ. I was talking with someone the other day, and I was talking about the gospel and how a person had to believe and be baptized to be saved. And they were talking about the fact they didn't think they had to be baptized. And I said, well, do you think they have to believe? And she said, oh, yeah, they got to believe in Jesus, go to heaven. Why would you say they have to believe? Because Jesus coupled belief and baptism to salvation. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, why did Christ say that if he didn't mean it? There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Artificial churches do not tell the truth. They don't. And like I said, a lot of times you go to church, you don't hear the gospel taught anymore. You hear sermons like, I'm okay, you're okay, and let's just be happy, and let's just have our own little group here. No, we're to be far-reaching. Our role and our mission in the church is to be soul-searching and soul-saving. That is what we are about. And it is much, much deeper than just saying, I am sincere. Because people can be sincerely wrong, just like they can be sincerely right. I don't know about you, but I want to be sincerely right. I don't want to stand before God sincerely wrong. And the only way that I'm going to know right from wrong is to read the book and know what God actually says. There's no virtue in being sincerely wrong. Saul of Tarsus, many of us remember the conversion of Saul. And it's a very interesting story found in the book of Acts chapter 9 and also Acts chapter 22. Saul, who later became the great evangelist, the Apostle Paul, was sincere in persecuting Christians. Now, they didn't like Christians in the first century. A lot of people don't like them today. They try to get rid of them. They misalign the church, and they say we're a bunch of bigots, and, you know, we're the religious right. I'm glad we're the religious right and not the religious left, aren't you? I am. You know, we stand on the right side. That's where God's people ought to be. And in Acts 23 and verse 1, Saul even defends the fact here that he had been wrong, but I'm changing to do what's right. For in Acts 23 and verse 1, and Paul earnestly beholding the council said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God to this very day. And Paul was guilty of killing Christians. He was guilty of massacring those who were against the Jewish religion because he was a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. And so Saul believed really very strongly about what he was doing was right. And then he had an encounter with Christ. Boy, what an encounter with Jesus will do for you. And it did it for him. And Christ spoke to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. He said, what would you have me do? He says, go into the city, and there it will be told thee of all things that you must do. Now notice that. Must. In the Greek language, that word is emphatic. It means it's something that is essential. And so he goes into the city, and he's been fasting, he's been praying for 3 days. And the Bible says that Ananias, who was a preacher, authentic preacher of the gospel, made the statement or asked the question. He said, and Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. You're a believer. Arise now and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16. There are many spiritual things that are simply artificial, but are man-made. They've been created by man. Have you ever wondered why we have so many differing denominations? many of them are created by man, not by God. They do their own thing. They live their own way. And yes, they may resemble the church of the New Testament, but they're artificial. There is a doctrine that's very popular with people, but it's artificial. It is. It's O-S-A-S. It is once saved, always saved. Now, we got some folks in the religious world today who are members of different churches who believe that once you become a Christian, that once you are baptized, and you know what, you go back out into the world and you start living ungodly lives, that God's going to save you anyway because at one time you were saved. But that's erroneous. Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, it is better for a man to have never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then depart from it. Now, that's what God says. And it is true, folks. You cannot uphold a doctrine that God condemns. And that's one of the major differences in religions in our world today. And as the Scripture teaches, that the latter end is worse with people than the beginning, who are trusting that once they were saved, they were always saved. Some people say, well, you just can't lose your salvation. You can't? Well, isn't it interesting that in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, Paul even referred to those who had fallen from grace. Now, that tells me you can fall from grace, folks. I don't know who you're listening to, but I'm listening to the word of Jehovah God. He is the authentic, nothing artificial about this. This was God-breathed. Every scripture came by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Listen to what he says in verse 21 of that text. For it had been better for them not to know the way of truth than to know it and then depart from the holy commandment that is delivered unto them. You mean it's worse when someone becomes a Christian and they go back out there in the world and they start living lives that are not consistent with the truth of God? It's worse. Isn't that what he says? I mean, that's what my Bible says. We do not need to be a people who follow the artificial. If you continue in my word, Jesus says, then you're truly my disciples. And if you know the truth will make you free. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. If we go on sinning deliberately after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no longer does there remain any sacrifice for sin. You can't be more profound than that, folks. You just can't. And then in 1 Corinthians 15:2, Paul writes, you who are saved, if you hold fast what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What do you got to do to remain saved? Got to hold fast to the word of God. You got to hold to the truth. Hold on. Anything less is artificial. That brings me to another one. There are artificial Christians. You know, isn't it amazing? How many of you knew these were artificial up here? Come on, raise your hand. It's all right. How many of you knew these were artificial? You know the reason you knew it is because we do it every year. Now, most people would think these are real poinsettias. And some in our church don't know it. Maybe they hadn't been coming as long as you have. I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the real thing and the artificial, isn't it? But there are differences. That's why artificial sweetener generally leaves an aftertaste in your mouth. Have you ever noticed? How many of you noticed that? Yeah, you're shaking your head on that one. Okay. There are artificial Christians. They play the part. They look the same. They get dressed and they come to the building. And they think that makes them religious. It may make you religious. It does not make you righteous. It doesn't. Paul even said in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the last time, some will depart from the faith." You can't depart from something that you've never been. That's what he says. So he's talking to Christians, isn't he? He says, "In the latter time, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Listen to James 5:19. "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will recover a multitude of sin." What do you got to do? You got to bring him back. Mark 13, Jesus said, "You'll be hated by all people for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you practice these qualities that he's talked about, you will never fall." But there's a difference between artificial and real. That brings me to number 4, beware of artificial marriages. Some people say they're married when they're not married. They live together, like married people, but they're not married. Artificial marriage. What about same-sex marriage? Is that marriage? Not in the eyes of God, it's not. It's an artificial covenant that you might make with someone. But it's not a marriage that is God-ordained. It is not a marriage that God will join together. And I would tell you, regardless what Supreme Court says, the Supreme Court is not the supreme being. I thank God for our Supreme Court right now, because I believe they're sensible people who've gotten over the concept of wokeism that has paralyzed this country for the last 4 years. I thank God that he has defined marriage, not the Supreme Court. Jesus said, "From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female, and for this cause, he says, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder." In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that here's a classic example of people who were practicing maybe a particular covenant they call marriage that wasn't marriage. And that because, listen, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, AI. They became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds. He says, and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause shall God give them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. That may not be artificial intelligence. That's the Word of God, folks. That's what God says about it. And they didn't even like to retain God in their knowledge. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Artificial Christianity teaches that baptism is not necessary to become a Christian. We believe it with all of our heart because God said it. Have you ever thought about all the accounts of conversion in the Bible that tell people how to be saved and how to become Christians? It's all the same way. Believe in God, repent of your sins, confess Christ, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then you live faithful unto God. There is nothing artificial about that. That's not church doctrine or churchanity. That's what God says. Anything less is artificial. It is. Jesus said to them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." Some people, it's amazing in discussing the Word of God with them how they argue that baptism really isn't essential to salvation. And, people say baptism doesn't save. And in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the Bible says, "A like figure wherein to even baptism doth also now save us." Did I hear that right? Did y'all hear that? That baptism doth also now save us. Anything else is artificial. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God says we better wake up, and we better be aware of what is real and what is artificial. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest artificial detector test is to compare what people say to these words. These words. What does your truthometer say about what you believe? What does it say? Does what you believe match with what God says? Does it? Before the truth can set you free, you need to recognize which lie is holding you hostage. And I'm afraid there are many in today's world that are being held hostage, ensnared, dealing with spiritual trauma over spiritual lies from which we all need to escape. But you can be sure about a relationship with God this morning. You don't have to walk out of this building saying, "Well, I'm still in doubt." No, you don't. If you don't believe me, get a copy of this sermon. Watch it on YouTube, Facebook. They'll be watching this around the world, and I thank God that they are. Because if you have questions about what I said, go back and listen one more time. You might just find that what I'm telling you is true. Genuine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ our Lord and His holy word. When are we made alive in Christ? Very simple. When is the blood applied? Romans 6 and verse 5 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that the old man has been put off, and we've been baptized and raised to walk in newness of life." That's what God says. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. If it doesn't match up with the Bible, you're wrong. I'm wrong. If it's not consistent with truth. I ask all of you this morning in this audience, and perhaps those that may be listening around the world, do you know Him? Do you know Christ as Lord? There was a lady up in the state of Kentucky this last week who had been listening to our sermons, and she said, "You know, I've come to the realization that I'm lost and I need to obey the gospel. I said, we can arrange that. And I say that to people all over our world. There's no second chance after you leave this world. When you die, it's over. Who is the real you this morning? It's not just what is real and what is right and what is artificial, but it's, are you real? Or is there some artificiality about your life? Will you give your life to Christ to be born again of water and of the Spirit, to be resurrected, to live as Jesus has asked you to live? And if you desire to do that, you want to do that, what hinders you from being baptized today? Would you arise at the command of God and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus while we stand and while we sing?